Hello again and welcome to the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. I'm Mark Goody and we've got two special guests with us this week. We've managed to ditch Simon Ferry. We've got him at the road. Rumour has it he's in Milan for Fashion Week. He's on the catwalk, but I think really he's still hiding under the bed after Peterhead lost to Steny in their promotion playoff. So hopefully Simon's feeling a bit better and will be back to join us sooner rather than later. But our two guests, we've pulled it out of the bag yet again. With it being the William Hill Scottish Cup final week, we've got a former Motherwell star and a former Celtic star joining us. We've got Paddy McCourt here and we've got Michael Higdon here, two top men that enjoyed their times with their respective clubs. Guys, good to have you with us.
Cheers, Mark, to be here.
You sure about that?
Yeah, positive.
Good to be back in Glasgow, Michael.
Yeah, better than last time I was here. it's like coming up to Scotland, obviously, do you know what I mean? I was up 8 years here, so it was nice to come back and see a few faces.
And for you, Paddy?
Hi, very good to be back. I haven't been back as much as I would have liked since I left, so you know, for one reason or another, so I'm here now, here now today, and then back over on Sunday for Brownie's testimonial, so no, always nice to get back.
And you're also as well, you've knocked it off because your time has been perfect. You've got a game at Celtic Park on the park tonight and a game on the park tomorrow. Brilliant.
That's right, so getting plenty in while I'm here and, you know, chance to get back and I'll see a lot of people tonight and, as I say, catch up with a lot of people at the weekend I haven't seen for a while too, so no, I'm looking forward to seeing everyone.
Brilliant. So, Saturday, the Cup Final, Celtic Motherwell. Michael, looking back in your memories in the Scottish Cup, good, bad, indifferent, what kind of sticks out for you?
Final didn't make a Falkirk, that was a good one. Obviously lost the final. That's the best moment, getting to the final of Falkirk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. Good achievement because we had, you know, it wasn't expected.
That's right, of course. And for you, Paddy?
Obviously we played a part in two finals that we won and obviously they were great, but obviously a wee bit of disappointment too the time we lost the semi-final to Ross County. You know, it was a big shock in Scottish football, but no, overall being involved in the two winning finals would probably be in your memory look on more fondly, but no, it's a great competition. It's the last game of the season and it's you know, it's a big game now for two teams and for contrasting reasons. Like, I think it's Motherwell's only their second final in 20 odd years, so it shows you how difficult it is to get there, and obviously Celtic going for a double treble, so that'll be an interesting one to see.
How's it the build up, because obviously you've got a full week to concentrate on it, you know, what kind of goes through a player's mind? Give us an idea of the week, you know, is it still the old getting the cup final suits, people getting on at you for tickets and all sorts of different things?
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, the phone doesn't, the family come up the road and get tickets sorted, and then the press is there, it's, you know, quite busy around the training ground, so, but it's enjoyable, that part of it, I think, you know, a bit of spotlight on the team for that 1 week. Yeah, but you just can't wait to get the game going, you know.
What about yourself, Paddy?
To be honest, it was pretty much a normal week for being involved at Celtic. You know, the press is there most week anyway, and I was tortured for tickets nearly every week, so it was nothing different with me. We won back home, but no, just like from a playing point of view, you just try and keep things as normal as possible. You know, a lot of lads there who'll be playing this week have played in a lot of finals, so no, they'll be well used to it and well versed in it, so I'd say they'll try and just keep it as normal as possible and just look at it as another game. But you know, if they do end up winning it, and that's six domestic trophies in a spin, it'll be an unbelievable achievement.
They've all been wanted. Michael, at the hotel on the Friday night, what did you usually do, you know, just to kind of relax yourselves and take your minds off the big games?
We didn't know the team, so you still got that, you know, what are you not going to play or in the squad or whatever. So it just keeps yourself concentrated and all that. All the lads are excited, but a lot of nerves there for, you know, Falkirk especially. You know, it's not like Celtic, you know, they're meant to be there every season. So it was an excitement, really, you know.
Mm-hmm. And do you enjoy it when you actually get to Hampden Paddy and you're there, you're out in the pitch and it's quarter to two and you're just walking around, is that when you think, right, it's business time now and you get the head on?
Well, to be fair, the two finals I was subbing both, and you know, probably differently, Michael, we sort of knew the team going into the matches, so I was prepared that I was going to be sub. But no, still great to be involved, and you know, you're sitting watching the game, hoping that whatever way the game develops, there'll be some opportunity to get on the field. And you know, luckily I did get on in both games. It wasn't for very long, but no, great to be a part of it. And you know, as I say, the two finals I played in, we managed to win. The only disappointing year we had was the big shock loss to Ross County. You know,
what about when captain's armband in the finals, well, in your last appearance to the club, pretty special for you?
I was, you know, more special the fact that we won the game, and we won the game quite comfortably. And I'd known for a while it was going to be my last game, because I decided around maybe January that year that I was going to make that my last season. And it was very emotional, because you know, the day you leave Celtic, a very, very, very slim chance of ever coming back. So, but no, as I say, we won the game, and it was a nice touch from Joe Ledley to get the armband in the last 10 minutes, whatever it was. And it was no, a special day, because I had a lot of family over there, and you know, we obviously went then and had a party at the house or something. And then the next day, and me and Lenny and Parks and Joe and that, we all met up and went for a few pints. So, no, I remember it just being a good time, you know, a wee bit emotional in terms of what it was, not my last ever game. And but no, it would have been a lot worse if I had lost.
How was Neil, how was the gaffer with you just on that last day or two?
Aye, no, just, no, having a bit of banter the next day. He was messing about, trying to convince me to stay and stuff, you know. We all went out, and Kevin Bridges was there. It was a whole team of us went out that Sunday, and we had a bit of crack and enjoyed ourselves, which, you know, was a long season. I think we won the double that year, so it was fun. We would always get on great with Lenny anyway, and he was very much like that, you know. If they like these teams, they sort of go and have a pint together at the right times, and you know, it was a sort of
just the 6 days a week then.
Hey,
just nah, the 6 days a week.
I cut it down to five then after. But no, just come back to it. Special time and good moments, like, so definitely look back fondly in the memories.
Kevin Bridges, Michael, you like a laugh, good sense of humour. Kevin Bridges up there.
I've seen him a couple of times. I can't really remember most of his act, like, but was that the one with where the dad goes upstairs and he presses the channel? Sorry, then.
Go on, da. So his dad doesn't know it's on. Brilliant. Well, when you mentioned there, Paddy, that Lenny was going to say, you know, will you stay with it? Was he being genuine? Was he trying to just give you one last
tour? It was just a bit of banter. Yeah, it was a bit of banter. And as I say, with numerous conversations leading up to that day, and you know, I think he'd have probably wanted me to stay for one more year. You know, that's the sort of gist I was getting back from him. But I'd made my mind up that I was 29, and that year I wasn't playing as many games from the start, you know, as I wanted. And I had sort of had the 3 year previous of sort of bedding in and then trying to make, you know, a regular place in the team. So I think it was the right time too, you know, come off won in the league a few times and a couple of cups. So no, we'd already sort of decided between ourselves, so it's probably the right time to move on. And he actually did try and sign me in a few years after, but it never came off.
At Bolton or?
No, I think it was Hubs. When I was leaving Luton, he contacted me to see if I'd be interested, but it was around the time my wife had just got ill, so we decided to move back home.
Right, okay. Would you come back in other circumstances? You enjoyed Scottish football, you had to come back?
Well, I had another year left at Luton anyway, so I'd probably ended up staying there. I enjoyed my time there working with that manager, but I'd have definitely loved to work with Lenny again. You know, he was good for me. You know, he was hard but fair. You always like that in a manager. You know, if you're ever not pulling your weight, they'd be the first to tell you. But if you've done well for him, they'd be full of praise too at the same time.
Is that similar with Stuart McCall? I know you had a great time at Motherwell under Stuart, Michael.
Yeah, he was just dead honest, you know what I mean? You take the criticism if it come your way and you'd accept it. And also, like Paddy said, there, he'd give you praise. You know what I mean? I remember when my wife lost her mum, and I was given a week off to go down the road, and I come back on the Friday, and it's a bit worse for wear, like, because, you know, so he said to me, just do the warm-up, and said, make sure you're all right, because you're starting tomorrow, and put the arm around my shoulder, and we beat Aberdeen 1-0, and I scored the next day.
Brilliant.
You know, so that type of management was, like, the way he was.
And I take it in going with that, then you weren't surprised at the success that Stuart had at Motherwell. Did you feel a wee bit from them that didn't quite work out from at Rangers, that he didn't get longer to go and try and do well at the club?
Sort of threw in the deep end, I think, only at Rangers a bit. But yeah, I think most of the lads in that 2 years I was there at Motherwell would have run through a brick wall for him, you know, because he's like your mate, you know what I mean? As Paddy said before, you know, we'd let us have a beer, and if you went on Saturday, you're off Sunday, Monday, little incentives like that, you know, and he just had it, like.
So, in terms of the final, Paddy, when you've played for Celtic, and I know you're on the bench, watched a couple of times, but were the boys able to relax and enjoy a final, or is it just a case of just get this over the line, regardless of performance, just win the game and get the cup in the bag?
I think that's a priority before the game, you know. It's more likely going to be sunshine, and it tends to be. If it's a very hot day, with a wee bit of sticky pitch, and a wee bit of nerves too, probably thrown in there, so... In terms of being a spectacle, I never find them great games. And even the last game we won, I know Ki Sung Young scored early enough, but you know the two other goals didn't come to the last 10 minutes. So it's always tight and it's always cagey. And I would probably predict that Sunday's going to be a bit the same too. Uh-huh. You know, I think Celtic will be very difficult to beat, but you know it's going to be a one-off game. And you know, if Motherwell could turn up and they stay in the game, you just never know.
You know, in terms of Motherwell, you know, they've got the striker Curtis Mayne, who's been doing well for them. Michael, you know what it takes to lead the line up there for the club. Is he a potential match winner for Motherwell?
I think
on Saturday?
So, yeah. He's confident, isn't he? You know, the semi-final, he scored a couple of good goals. Reminds me a bit like Henrik Oyama, who I played with.
Yeah.
You know, non-stop worker, and you know, his work rate's infectious for the rest of the team. But you know, he's confident, so. You know, I think he's, you know, looking well at the moment, and he's got every chance of scoring on Saturday if he keeps it going.
And in terms of the Motherwell team too, one thing that they seem to have about them that Stevie Robinson has instilled, there's no fear, is there? They just go and say, you know what, we're going to go and take this game with the scruff of their neck.
Yeah, they don't think there's any big time Charlies in that squad, you know what I mean? They all appreciate what they're doing, and they all know that, I mean, that the hard work is the main factor for when I've watched them. You know, you can just see how hard they work, and you know, they look like they enjoy playing for the manager.
And just touching on your time as well at Motherwell, Michael, you finished third and second in the league, but was there also a real concentration on the Scottish Cup, like, you know, trying to get to the last day of the season and the glamour kind of showpiece occasion?
Yeah, it's nice to get to the final, obviously, but you know, finishing second and third was a fantastic achievement from the lads. But again, you know, you get used to being and get used to winning, get used to doing the right things as a team, and you get success like that, you know what I mean? On a limited budget, if you like. I'm going playing Europe and have good times, like. But, you know, that's it. They were the good old days. I've got my family, but...
But they do, and just in general, for both of them, is this a chance to win a medal on the last day of the season? Is that just what top it all off? You know, they say you get a nice bonus for winning the cup, you go on holiday and you come back feeling good about yourselves, you know, for the pre-season.
Well, I think, as Michael touched on earlier, for a club like sort of Motherwell, Falkirk, it's probably a bigger occasion, and no disrespect, but a bigger occasion than for, say, Celtic players, because, you know, that opportunity does come around a bit more frequently. But it was always great because you knew it was the last game. You knew you go out after it if you won, have a party, and as you say, you're away on holiday the next week. And it always was a great way to finish off a season. And, you know, thankfully I never lost one, but I can imagine it would have impacted your summer if you had it. You know, you would have been probably thinking about it for the next 5-6 weeks. Well, it's not even that now. I think Celtic only get about 3 now of a break. But, no, thankfully, as I say, it was always a nice way to end the season instead of probably being a really horrible way to end the season.
What lengths were you when you lost the final, Michael?
Yeah, we were gutted. It was a boiling day, man. It was about 40 degrees out there. And Chris Boyd come off at half time because it was too hot. That's what he said.
Do you remember that one? Too hot to play football.
Yeah, but we were unlucky, man. you know, there was a, we hit the post down the bottom end, and then obviously Novo come on at half time and whacked one in the top end, didn't he, in the first second. But you need a lot of, you need luck on that. It's deflating, but it's, you know, the pressure's not sort of on for the smaller sides. It is with Celtic though, as Pat says, you know what I mean. So it's not as bad, but you're still gutted because you want to achieve something, and no one can take a winner's medal away from you. You know, I don't even know what my losers' medals are like. I'm not interested, you know what I mean. But
would have beaten Rangers that day, would that been the highlight of your career, I think, if you'd have pulled that off?
Well, when I was at St Mirren, I lost the League Cup final, didn't I? Against Rangers again. They had 9 men. Right. 5 minutes to go, and then Kenny Miller goes down the other end and scores. I'm thinking I'm an unlucky bastard then, do you know what I mean?
But did you feel for me, Gus, that day? Because Gus was so close in his own career, wanted to get
in
that one.
But you can't lose that game management, man, you know what I mean? 9 men, extra time coming up, and they go down and score. Because we take too many men forwards, just a bit insane really at the time, but that's the way it goes.
Okay, what about the chances then on Saturday for Motherwell? They clearly are, they're the underdogs, but you know, but do you think, Paddy, that Celtic will feel an extra wee bit of pressure? Because as you said earlier there, it's a chance to win 6 domestic trophy on the trot, the back to back trebles, the double treble, all the kind of different components of the chance to make history.
I don't know about extra pressure, but there's a bit of pressure in terms of, you know, as you say, a chance to create. Has it been done before?
It's
another chance to create a bit of history that I can't remember it being done before. I can't remember hearing of it. So that'll add a bit of pressure in itself, but it's a good pressure to have. You know, it's not like they're going for one trophy out of 6. You know, they're going for their 6 out of 6. So I just, when I'm watching them at the minute on the big games, the big domestic games anyway, you know, they really turn up on, you know, the semi-final against Rangers and the last league game against Rangers there. If they turn up and play like either of them, it's going to be a difficult task for Motherwell.
Well, you know, the captain, well, Scott Brownie, is a teammate of yours for a number of years. He's still a friend. Michael, you'd have played against him a few times. I mean, how important is it for a team just to have someone so influential and such a driving force for them in the middle of the park?
He's a good competitor, Scott Brown, and he's a good player, and he doesn't take no shit off no one, does he, really? I like him a lot. I think he's a really important member of that team, but also it's like Barry Ferguson when he was at Rangers, that type of mainstay in the middle. I think he's the secret to the success, really. Brendan Rodgers sings his praises all the time, don't he? And Paddy will know him. He deserves what he gets, Scott Brown, because he doesn't leave anything out there on the pitch. He just gives it all.
He's won the Celtic Player of the Year, the PFA Player of the Year, the Football Writers Player of the Year. He's absolutely swept the boards this season, Paddy. He must be delighted for him.
Aye, absolutely. As a player, I've got unbelievable admiration for him. You know what he's done in the game, the way he's sort of turned it around again the last couple of years, because there was a lot of people starting to doubt him, whether it was coming to an end. He was having a wee bit of trouble with a few injuries, but whatever changes he's made or whatever he's done the last couple of years, it's been fantastic. He's took his game even to a new level. You know, people are probably looking at him as they get older thinking he should be slowing down and changing his game, but he's probably covering more grass now than he's ever done, and he seems to be an even better footballer than he was. But as a person too, you know, a nicer lad you couldn't meet, do anything free, and leads the dressing room, leads by example. You know, as a captain, he's always just the first man to have a bit of fun, knowing the time's right, but when it's time to get down and get serious, you know, he's the one that's leading everything. And probably, just as you touched on, probably a wee bit of what Rangers are missing at the minute, you know, sort of that iconic captain that's going to lead the team. And he's won a lot of accolades this year, and he's going to get more praise coming up now to his testimonial. But you know, as a player and as a person, he deserves everything that's coming his way this week.
How good must it be then for any manager, but it's Brendan Rodgers that's the manager just now, to have a guy like Scott that basically feels, saying, you know, that he knows that he can trust him to run the dressing room? That must be great for a manager.
Oh, definitely. And I remember when Lenny made him captain, there was a few raised eyebrows, you know, has this boy got the mentality, has he got the discipline, you know, and he was a brave decision, you know, at the time, but, you know, talk about someone taking it in their stride, you know, it was seamless, like, you know, he really took it on, and he matured along, and every year he matured, and he's just, as I say, apart from that year where there was a wee doubt about him, he's just seemed to get better and better every year, and this year again, I just think he's took it to a new level again. You know,
he's got better with age, hasn't he?
I'm watching them last two old firm games, and it just seems he's another 2 years if he wants him. Mm-hmm. You know, seems to be in 5-10 yards of space all the time, and then when they have the ball, he's right in someone's fist, and it just seems he seems as good as I've seen him, anyway.
In terms of Motherwell on Saturday, Michael, is it important to try and stop Scott Brown because he, you know, kind of dictates the tempo, the rhythm? You know, do you think that Stevie Robinson will be? I think if you looked at the Hearts v Celtic game at Tynecastle a couple of weeks ago, it was almost as if Craig Levein had said to Stevie Naismith, "Go noise him up, you know, yeah. Go and get in about him." Is that something that you might think that Motherwell will try and do?
I don't think Scott Brown. He's not bothered if he gets. Yeah. You know. Picked on like that, if you like, or whatever. I just think Motherwell just going full on press and just work as hard as what they did against Aberdeen in the semi-final. And I think they'll have a good chance. Obviously scoring first is important in any game, but especially out there, but you know, they've got nothing to lose, and you know, if they work as hard as what they have done, I think they've got a chance here.
Okay, we're on the Keeping the Ball on the Ground, the Open Goal podcast in association with our friends at William Hill. We're concentrating on the Scottish Cup final on Saturday. We're in the company of Paddy McCourt and Michael Higden. I'm Mark Guidi. We've got a wee bit to go on the Scottish Cup final. We'll also talk to the boys about what they're doing just now, and we'll touch on the English FA Cup final also on Saturday between Chelsea and Man United. Paddy, if you're the Motherwell manager, Stevie Robinson, a guy that I know that you know, what will be going in his head in terms of how to stop Celtic? Will his focus be mainly on getting his own players to express themselves, or more about stopping the strengths that Celtic have?
I would think it'll be first and foremost, they definitely try and stop Celtic getting into some kind of rhythm, getting a flow in the game where as we've seen many times over the last couple of years, when they get into that rhythm, they get into that flow, they're hardly stopped. So trying to upset them first and foremost, not letting Brownie and whoever else, you know, get in and find their rhythm. But also, he's probably hoping too that they don't make any silly mistakes, because if you come up against top players, especially top players in the domestic level in the SPL, they will punish you. So he'll be hoping that the work gets done this week in the training ground, and whatever plan he puts in action, that the players go ahead and follow it, and hoping that the concentration level stay high and they don't switch off, because you know, if they do against these types of players at this level, they will get punished.
In terms as well, James Forrest has had a terrific season for Celtic. He's really hit a level of consistency and added goals into his game on a regular basis. We'll have known James from coming through if he won. A kid, you must be delighted to see him really progress now.
Delighted for him, because he had a real bad time with injuries at the start of his career, and I was there at the time, and it was sort of his back and his hamstring, though, because he had that much sort of natural piss, and he struggled to stay fit for a consistent time. But you know, if Brownie hadn't had the season he's had, and James probably would have pushed him all the way for player of the year, he's been excellent. And what he's done as well, he's added goals now to his game. You know, if there was ever a criticism, it was probably he didn't score enough goals, and he's now hitting double figures. He's got double figures this year, constantly. But in terms, again, going back to what he's like as a lad, he's the loveliest lad, you know, no arrogance or ignorance about him, just loves football. And
is he as quiet as he seems? He seems a really quiet boy.
He's quiet, but good fun. He's good fun, like, when he comes out of his shell, but
better partner than Michael.
Eh?
Better partner than Michael.
A good lad, and just delighted for him that he's now had a good run of form. He seems stronger and fitter, and you know, he's playing 90 minutes now regularly, and maybe he's probably played 50 odd games this year. So no, again, he's one of the ones that Brendan's come in and improved, and like a lot of the players that I think's been probably the most impressive thing that he has done is, apart from going out and buying Sinclair and Dembele and, you know, improving the quality, he's also made the existing players far better, which I think's, you know, real top coaching. And if you look at Guardiola, he's actually done that with the Man City players too. You know, he hasn't actually gone out and spent a whole lot of money. He spent big money on fullbacks, but, you know, on the attacking side of the pitch, he's basically spent very, very little in today's modern market. And I think Brendan's done a very similar job here with, and the fact that he's improved the player that he's inherited.
Just on Brendan, Mick, I know you're a Liverpool supporter and you'll be looking forward to the Champions League final as well.
Yeah.
Against Real Madrid. What's your memories as a Liverpool fan of the season when Brendan nearly took Liverpool to the title?
It was probably the best football I've seen at Liverpool, you know, going towards them. And the main man slipped up, man, which is unheard of, but, you know, watching players like Suarez, I mean, Suarez was the best player I've ever seen, I think, in that season. He was beyond belief, really. But, you know, again, the players like playing for Brendan Rodgers, you know what I mean? It's enjoyable watching Celtic these days. I think they play a really good style of football and that, you know. But, yeah, unlucky, man, when they finished second, like.
Was there a real feeling in the city, the red side of the city, that was going to happen that season?
Like, my brothers, a couple of my uncles, they've got season tickets, like, and they crying when it was. When they lost against Chelsea, I mean, they'd be crying if they won the league. That's so much. They just want that because it hasn't been for so long. Now Man United have won 19 titles. It's just like that. Mm-hmm. But 99% of the Liverpool fans would want to win the league over a European Cup.
Mm-hmm. Just to get the title back.
Yeah, 100%.
They talked about tears. If Motherwell, if your own club win here on Saturday, I mean, you know, a lot of the people behind the scenes. You know, it's a real family club, the effort that goes into it day to day to make it a success and to keep it going. You'll be really, really pleased for a lot of people there, won't you?
Yeah, definitely. It's a fantastic club, to be fair. As you said, really family based. People have been there for years, you know. Aldo the Kitman's been there forever. But they just keep it in the bar. But I think you just need to keep going. And, you know, I think they're going to do it this weekend, I think. I'm not just saying that because I used to play for them, but. Uh-huh. You know, Celtic's bubble's got to burst soon enough, and, you know, I think possibly on Saturday it might.
You think in the fact that you're saying Motherwell is part of the reason you're saying that, is it getting to do with Celtic's last couple of games have not scored two games at home, which is very unusual for them? Is it something about Celtic maybe being off the boil, or do you think it's more about Motherwell just hitting a real height on Saturday?
Yeah, well, obviously they've just won 3-0, haven't they, Motherwell as well, so they're scoring goals on paper. There's no better time, really, to play Celtic. They're not on fire on all cylinders just at the moment. But cup finals are cup finals. It's a different ball game. It's a one-off game. You know, so form sort of goes out the window. You know, anything can happen. But I think the way Motherwell are at the moment, I think there's no better confidence-wise place to be, you know, for them to do well.
And Paddy, you fancy Celtic?
I do. I fancy Celtic strongly, to be honest. I just think, in the big games, the big players come to town, and when I'm looking out, especially at Celtic's bench, you know, lately, when it's come back to the two Old Firm games, when you're able to call upon Griffiths, Sinclair and Roberts off the bench, it's, you know, it's strong, like it's very, very strong, and you nearly have that luxury. Even if your plan A is not working, you can turn to the bench, and you've got three boys sitting there. So, no, I just feel that although they haven't scored in the last two games, I just feel that, you know, they'll turn up on Saturday, and I think it's going to be very, very difficult to keep them at bay.
Again, just give us that wee insight. How does it feel then, come quarter to five o'clock in cup final day, when you're on the podium and you're holding that cup?
It's just a great feeling. I'd probably lying if I didn't say, like, you don't sort of feel that much involved in it when you've only come on in the last few minutes, you know what I mean? But still to be involved in it, you know, at any level is great. But going back to the finals when I was at Derry, when I played from the start and we won, though, you feel a wee bit more, what would I say, like you've earned your medal a wee bit more, you know, that type of way. But look, still great to be involved, and as I say, at least you weren't going away for the next 3 or 4 weeks, sort of moping about because you lost it, you know. So, no, amazing times, and you know, just it's great, like, you know, it's brilliant.
Right, on the spot then, Michael, give us your prediction for the William Hill Scottish Cup final 2-1. On Saturday.
2-1 to Motherwell.
2-1 to Motherwell. What, yep. Give us a score or somebody to score?
McHugh will get one.
And Captain Callum McHugh.
Yeah, and Brian O'Fronts will get one as well.
Big main, big Curtis main.
Big Pierce's main, I don't even know his name.
Pierce's right, main as well.
Right on the spot, brilliant. 2-1 Motherwell. Paddy?
4-1.
4-1 Celtic.
Yeah.
Fancy Motherwell scoring first to make that game out as a consolation?
No, I think Celtic might go 2 or 3-0 up, then they'll get one, and then Celtic will get a late one.
Do you think Celtic won't be what you're saying there, that they'll actually come out and really go for it right from the off and try and put any doubt to Ben?
You know, I've watched them now, and I think if they come out of the blocks, when they can get up to that tempo that they can play at, they're hardly lovely. So I would imagine their plan will be to get out and get that tempo up very, very early and try and dominate the game from start to finish.
Right, well, that's it. Get into the William Hill betting shops. Get your money on 2-1 Motherwell for Michael, or 4-1 Celtic from Paddy. So both of you are back in Glasgow. Paddy, over from Northern Ireland. Michael, you've come up the road from Liverpool. What are you guys both doing now? What are you up to? I know you're still playing, Paddy. You're getting involved in the coaching as well.
I still play part-time for a club where I live in Donegal, Fan Herbs. They play in the League of Ireland, and still enjoying it. And I have opened a soccer academy the last 8 or 9 months with a friend of mine, which we both run, which is going really well. So,
what age groups that for?
We have 5 age groups. The youngest lads will be about 9 or 10, right up to 13 or 14. You know, so they change. They obviously train in their own age groups. So we train them 3 days a week for 2 hours a day. So it's going well, and it's giving them that extra football that I think the kids are missing now, because I don't think they play in the street as much as we used to be. So there has to be something. I feel they bridge that gap of the missing hours. So it's gone really well, and you know, we're growing it all the time, and the feedback from the parents and the feedback from the clubs has been very positive.
What made you get that, just to give something back?
Well, it's just that I've got a 9-year-old young fella myself who's obsessed with football, and when I came home, he joined the club I joined when I was younger, Foyle Herbst, but they only train one day a week, and it's for an hour, and then they have a game on a Saturday. And where I live, it's not like a street where he can go and knock on for 3 or 4 of his mates or so. Yeah. I just felt that he wasn't getting enough football, and I'd also done my coaching badges up to an A licence, and with me still playing, I couldn't ever go and say go for an assistant manager's job or a coach job. So I was doing a wee bit of work with the younger age groups in Northern Ireland, and just sort of had an idea of just starting a development academy where the players actually stay at their clubs, but they just come to us for an extra 6 hours coaching a week. And it's gone really well, and it seems to work.
Brilliant. And for you, Michael, doing a bit of scouting?
I was my friend's the assistant manager at Blackpool, so I've done a bit of scouting for them, which I quite enjoyed. And my uncle's are involved with the railway, so I've got my railway card. So I mean, I enjoy doing that, and the reason I've done that is because I'm working with a gang of lads again. You know, when you finish football, you know, it's difficult, but that was why I joined on the railway with my uncle's. It's a good crack, like, you know. And do a bit in there with Blackpool. So
it's good just to be involved still in the game and try to just see if you can source a gem from somewhere.
Yeah, of course, you know, that's the satisfaction of that, like, you know, but there's a bit of pressure on him. Might have a good game when, like I say, get him, take him, when he's a dumpling, you know what I mean? But sometimes it's just nice to go and watch a game of football as well, you know.
Get yourself involved. Right, and just another big game that's coming up this weekend is the English FA Cup final at Wembley on Saturday. We've got Antonio Conte, possibly his last game at Chelsea. We've got Jose Mourinho at Man United, who's still getting a bit of stick even though things have been going well. What do you make of that? It's going to be a real interesting 90 minutes too down the road.
Hope Chelsea win. Hate the monks.
And for you, Paddy?
Probably a season saver for both clubs. Although United have finished second, that probably sounds a bit stupid, but you know, the fans aren't happy. Like, I don't know if it's a style. I'm not a United fan, but I have a lot of friends who are, and they're just not, whatever's going on there, they're not happy, you know. I don't know if it's the way they're playing or the amount of games they've lost at home or whatever, but, and then Chelsea, the champions, and they've had an underwhelming season too, so it could be a chance for both teams to they save a wee bit of glory for the season.
It seems to have been a difficult season for Conte, because right from pre-season, there was chat about him being out the door. They lost their opening league game to Burnley at Stamford Bridge, but even though he was a champion, he's never really seemed to be allowed to have enjoyed it, has he?
Chelsea have seemed to be like that the last couple of years, you know. Mourinho came back, he won the league win, and the next year struggled. I know there was that whole incident with a doctor and a physio and that I think certainly didn't help him. But Conte seemed to have got them in a great place this time last year, and I know he had that fallout with Costa, and you get rid of him and Morata's come in and he's not really fulfilled his shoes. So, but it's weird that it's happened sort of 2 years in a row where they've won the league, struggled again. So
he looks stressed to death, though, don't he, Conte?
It might be something to do with the players, you know.
Looks like he's just going to fall over with the stress, don't he?
Might be something to do with the mentality of the players, you know. Is it they get fed up with a manager very easily or something? I don't know, but it's just a strange one.
Yeah, there's something there that just doesn't quite...
Like how you can, because they won it comfortably last year,
yeah.
And then this year they've not even finished in the top four, so I don't know.
And you mentioned Mourinho and Michael Lucien, you don't particularly care much for Manchester United, but is Mourinho, you look now, that's like 15 years at the highest level, winning trophies in different countries domestically and in Europe. Do you think, is he on the way a wee bit? Is he on the slide?
He's obviously a top manager, isn't he? But it's just the way his team plays. It's not attractive. But the best
Liverpool supporters accept that style of play.
Well, I have this conversation with, why did you go to the match? We want to win, that's it. How you win at the end of the season, do you know what I mean? But it's not the Liverpool way, if you like. It's not the Man United way. But he gets results all the time.
I think what you're saying there, and I agree, I think he's lost his spark a wee bit.
Yeah, it's something's gone. Like,
do you know, when he first came in years ago, when he was saying I'm a special one and all that, yeah. You know, even though he was arrogant, there was something really likeable about him. I don't think that's there anymore. You know, as I say, I'm not a Man United fan, but even I don't really like listening to these interviews and all anymore.
It's like the treatment of that, like the show, the left back, that like shocking, that type of thing.
It's just like he's in a bad mood all the time, and he thinks everyone's out on his back, and which they probably are, but you're my United manager and you're paid $15 million a year, so you're going to have to accept it at times.
I suppose when you look at it, you see younger guys like Guardiola, like Klopp, like Pochettino and stuff like that. There just seems to be a freshness, more enthusiasm kind of about them compared to,
well, you can see when like the and stuff, like Klopp's infectious, don't all the players hug him, you know what I mean? They don't hug some Mourinho, like, or but like Klopp's just, you can see they just want to run through a brick wall for him, man. I mean, if I seen that, just follow my knees and probably bow if I seen Jurgen Klopp.
I remember reading an interview with Terry and Lampard one time, and they were saying about like whatever he has, you'd run through a brick wall for him, and and that was the way it was at Chelsea at that time. I don't think many United players would run through a brick wall.
No,
for
no,
now.
I agree. You
know, for what reason, I don't know, or what's changed, but he just seems to have lost a wee bit of his spark that he had. Like, hey, 15 years at the top level might have drained it out of him, I don't know, but there's certainly something not right there. Although, you know, he still seems to, on the big day, turn up and get results. You know.
How do you see it going then, FA Cup final down the road on Saturday? Do you think it'll be a
0-0
and entertain it? No, or do you think it's going to be very, very cagey?
Yeah, cagey, I'd say.
I think my United one, as I say, Mourinho seems to have that. Well, I don't know what it is, but when it is a big game, he seems to somehow pull a result out. You know, he done it there in the
semi final against Spurs.
Spurs, when Spurs were fancy, went 1-0 down early, and it just seemed to galvanise him somehow and come back, and probably a wee bit of Spurs too, not seeing the job through, but I fancy Man United, they won 3-1.
3-1, what a double that is. So Man United 3-1,
yeah.
Celtic 4-1 for Paddy, you're going
2-1
Motherwell.
Chelsea will win 2-0 on penalties. Chelsea will win on penalties.
Chelsea
0-0, Chelsea win on penalties.
0-0, Chelsea, right, that's worth a right few quid. Get rid of the Rungham Hill shop, get your money on it. We've had a terrific 40 minutes on the Open Goal podcast. keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. Our sincere thanks to Paddy McCourt for joining us and to Michael Higdon for joining us. Lads, a good 40 minutes.
Yeah, enjoyed it. Thanks very much. Yeah.
Thanks very much.
And we'll see if you can pick up a few quid with your bets. Thanks again for joining us in Open Goal. We'll be back soon. Enjoy the rest of your week.